Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the Advocacy 101 Introduction to MS Activism conference call. Your host for today is Rebecca Gray. Ms. Gray, you may now begin.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. Again, my name is Rebecca Gray. I'm coordinator in programs and services, and I'm based in the San Antonio office. For the convenience of our community, this program is being recorded. And for those of you that would like the slides this evening, if you're not able to see them through your computer right now, we will be forwarding those to you tomorrow. Tonight's speakers are Linnea Nasman, Coordinator, Programs and Government Affairs in our Austin, Texas office, Candace Richardson, Health and Resources Advocate from Oklahoma City, and Crystal Smith, Director of Programs and Services in Louisiana. At the conclusion of tonight's meeting, you will all have the opportunity to pose your questions, so please hold on to them, and we'll be glad to answer as many as we can. And at the very, very end of our program, we will have a few survey questions, so stay on the line so we can get all of this done. Linnea, would you like to begin?
Yeah, thanks so much, Rebecca. So hello, everyone, again. My name is Linnea Nasman, and I do government affairs for the National MS Society Lone Star, so for the entire state of Texas, and I'm based in the capital, Austin. If you can go to the next slide, Rebecca, just to show everyone who we are here. Candace Richardson is there on the left in the middle in that lovely suit. I'm in the middle there in front of our Texas state capitol, and then Crystal's on the far right in that right hand picture with some of her activists. So I just wanted to give you a sense of who we are, who's going to be on the line today. And in the three states that you see named there, we're the ones who are the staff members who take a big lead on our advocacy efforts. So we have some experts on the call today to tell you more. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Just want to give you a quick sense of what we're talking about today. We'll start by talking about the National MS Society and advocacy. We'll follow by talking about what it means to be an activist. After that, we'll discuss some of the activities that are happening in relation to MS activism in our five-state region. Then we'll go over some communication strategies and effective techniques for advocacy, just to get a taste of some of the things we do as activists. And then lastly, if we've gotten you hooked and interested in doing something, we'll give you some ideas of what you can do to be involved in advocacy. So let's go to the next slide. So the National MS Society, you've probably heard this before, but is a collective of passionate individuals who want to do something about MS now to move forward together toward a world free of MS. When we do advocacy, we're moving politicians and legislation to champion the needs of people with MS through activism, advocacy, and influence. Some of the important things I like to remember when I'm talking about advocacy is that none of us are immune from the uninvited or unexpected. And we know that because over 400,000 people, at least in the U.S., have MS, and that includes people like our friends, neighbors, and family members. And if you live with MS, or if someone you know has MS, whether it's a friend or a family member, you are a credible expert, and it's that knowledge that empowers you to advocate. And I think not everyone realizes that, but pretty much anybody can be involved in MS activism because you have a story to share, and that's probably the most important part. Go ahead on our next slide. MS activists represent a really wide variety of people. Like I said, anyone with a story and an interest in making a difference by telling it can be an advocate. So MS activists realize that their efforts can serve a greater good to create a better quality of life for someone living with MS. They use their personal perspectives and experiences with advocacy priorities identified by the society, and we do that on a state level and a federal level. They couple their perspectives with those priorities to enhance the quality of life for people with MS. They speak out boldly, and they do so with conviction, whether that's via email or in person. There's lots of different opportunities. And in the case of this call, you probably live in one of our five states that is in our region. So that's New Mexico, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana. And, of course, we have MS activists nationwide. Next slide. I just wanted to give you some more faces of activism in our five-state region, and I'll ask in just a second for Crystal and Candace to share their pictures. But if you look at the one on the right there, there's four individuals standing in representative Warren Chisholm's office. He's a state representative for Texas. On the far left is one of our newest advocacy volunteers, Jake Wisdom. And in the red shirt is the representative himself. In the checked shirt is Jody Henderson. He's a member of the Texas Government Relations Committee. And then on the right is Gail Lindsay, and she is a staff member who works out of our Amarillo office, and she does programs, but she also does some really wonderful stuff with advocacy as well. Crystal, do you want to tell us who's in your photo?
Sure. This photo was at our town hall meeting in Shreveport celebrating our tax checkoff bill. And so in this picture, Representative Wayne Waddell, who is just to the right of me, I'm in the center, he had this as a gift to us, custom framed for us, and presented that to us in the presence of everyone at the town meeting. So right next to Representative Waddell is Ray Logo Sr. He is our Government Relations Committee Chairman. And then just to the left of me is Rodney Clements, who is Representative Waddell's assistant. And Rodney worked very closely with me, along with Representative Waddell, throughout the whole session this year. So I was really thrilled that they were both, able to join us. And right next to Rodney on the far left is Chad Loga, Ray's son. And Chad is a professional lobbyist, and I have to give him a lot of thanks and kudos. Chad made over 70 visits to the legislators himself, and collectively as a Government Relations Committee group, we made over 96 visits to our legislators.
Wow, 96. Well, Crystal's going to give us a little bit more information on that success a little bit later, so that was a little bit of a teaser. But I also wanted to ask Candace to give us a quick little bit of information on her photo. She's a wonderful photographer, and I latched onto this one because I think it's very representative of all the teamwork we do with advocacy. Candace, do you want to say something?
Absolutely. I think that picture really does go well with the Margaret Mead quote that you have up there, that never doubt that a small group of concerned citizens can change the world. And that's the way we felt when we took that picture in Washington, D.C. this year at the Public Policy Conference. It was our Oklahoma delegation, and we got off the bus getting ready to go into the halls of Congress and to meet congressional delegation, and we all just joined hands and went, join the movement together, we can do this. And it was just a brief moment where we all clasped hands and had just a moment of rah-rah. That's just what it takes. We all come together, we all work together, and it is together that each of us can make a difference in our state and in our region and in our country as a whole.
Wonderful. All right. Well, that's our little teaser. Let's move on to the next slide and talk about some of the things that MS activists have done in the last year or so. We have sent thousands of emails to legislators about issues important to people with MS. Activists and staff members have given testimony at legislative hearings, sharing their personal stories and experiences. As Candace mentioned, we have visited our federal legislators, and we have in all of our states visited our state legislators to make our voices heard. And we've also worked a little bit smaller scale in our communities to champion the rights of people with disabilities and MS. If we could go to the next slide. What we're going to do now is just take a quick snapshot of some of the things we're doing in the various states in our region. And we're going to start with Candace to talk about some things that are happening in Oklahoma. Then I'm going to give a little overview of some of the things we're doing in Texas next year, and then Crystal's going to talk about a success they had last year and also talk about some of the things that are coming up in 2011. So let's go to the next slide and start with Candace.
Thanks, Linnea. In Oklahoma, we have a unique little program that we just started last year, and it's called Mondays at the Capitol. And we meet every Monday, a group of us kind of come in and come out, and not everyone comes every single week, but I'm there every Monday during the session, which our Oklahoma session runs from January to May. Sometimes it goes a little longer if we have to have a special session, but generally it's January to May. So every Monday we meet out there, and it's a nonpartisan group, and we go around and we introduce ourselves to every single legislator. They get in the habit of seeing us in the hallways. We always wear orange. We always, you know, we are always identified as an MS activist, whether there's three of us or there's seven or eight of us or 10 of us. Everyone, just by March, April, and May, they know that we're there. And then we spend a little time sitting in and watching the session and watching the votes and keeping abreast of the things that are going on that are that will affect our clients in terms of statewide legislation. Last year and this year, we had our activists worked so hard. Last year, we went to all of the congressional hearings. We, as our little bill, House, it was called House Resolution 2710. That was our tax donation box bill that was passed into law, and it took 43 separate steps to get that bill passed. And it would not have happened if our little team of people hadn't been there to push that bill on through each of its little sections through the process there. And I'm so grateful for all of the activists who have come to Mondays at the Capitol. And like I said, if you are in Oklahoma City at any time during that time, feel free to stop in and find us. We meet at the fourth floor snack bar in the state capitol, and we would love to have anyone come and help us walk the halls and meet our representatives. This year, like last year, budget cuts are going to be a concern, and we're going to stay right on that and make sure that important programs that our clients depend upon are not going to be subject to budget cuts, and do the best that we can to, if they are, to keep them minimal. So thank you, Lene, and I'll pass it on to Crystal. Is that right?
Actually, to me.
All right.
Back to me. So this is Linnea again. Thank you, Candace, for that quick snapshot. Candace does a lot of things, but those are two of the – or Mondays at the Capitol are one of the biggest things she does during the session. I think it's a really neat way to connect activists to what's going on during the session. So if we look at what's happening in Texas in the upcoming year, there's a few things we're particularly focusing on here in the state of Texas. One is that we're working with a few legislators to work on legislation that addresses prescription drug costs and coverage. We hear stories all the time from people living with MS that they experience unexpected changes in their cost share for their prescription drugs, particularly the disease-modifying drugs like Avonex and Betaseron and Copaxone. So typically somebody might go to the pharmacy to pick up their medications for the month, and the pharmacist might tell them, you know, you actually owe a little bit more this month. Your copay has gone from $50 a month to, you know, and they name a dollar amount that's usually quite a bit higher. We just don't think this is fair. We think when you sign on to an insurance contract for a year that the insurance company should hold up their end of the bargain and maintain the same benefits throughout the year for you. So we're looking at preventing those changes. There's actually something already on the books that addresses that, but expanding those protections. And we're also looking at notification to make sure consumers hear from their insurance company rather than their pharmacist when these changes are going to happen. So that's one thing we're working on in the state. And we're working on that as a direct result of things that other states have worked on through the National MS Society, and also stories that we hear from people living with MS in our region. Like Candace mentioned, it's going to be a really rough year for lots of states in terms of budgets. Right now, Texas has a $25 billion deficit, and on the chopping block are a lot of programs that benefit people with MS, people with disabilities, and people with chronic illnesses. So we're going to be really focused on making sure that programs that are important to people with MS aren't getting cut. And lastly, we last session worked on a family caregiver respite bill, which was designed to provide a temporary break or other resources to family caregivers who are taking care of their loved ones. So we are really focusing on long-term care issues and also the implementation of this caregiver respite program in three areas of Texas, and seeing how we can later broaden that to the rest of the state. Right now, this session, we're focusing on maintaining the funding and avoiding it getting cut, but we're feeling pretty good about it. So that's a little snapshot of what's going on in Texas for this upcoming session, which starts in January in Texas as well. And now we're going to go to Crystal, and she's going to tell us a little story about the thing they worked on last session and also what's coming up in 2011. So go ahead, Crystal. Next slide.
Thank you. And thanks again, everyone. I'm so glad you all are on this call to hear this great information. So we have sort of our own Super Bowl in advocacy here in Louisiana. We had a Super Bowl of black and gold, and we had a Super Bowl the color orange, and that would be the passing of HB7, which was, of course, our tax checkoff. So starting in 2010, everyone will have the opportunity to donate a dollar or more to the National MS Society just by checking the box. Louisiana taxpayers who either owe money or if they'll be receiving a refund will have that opportunity to make a donation, and that is going to be through the Department of Revenue and Taxation. This program will start for tax year 2010, meaning spring filing season, which is by May 15th of 2011. And this allows individuals to make the donation just by simply checking off their box. Don't forget to tell your CPAs that you want to do that. We need to keep it on everybody's radar. In fact, I suggest everyone call their accountants tomorrow and just let them know. Put a note all over their office. Anyway, so also, donations to the National MS Society will serve over 9,600 people with MS and their families, and the Louisiana Department of Treasury has set up a special escrow fund on our behalf, and they will remit funds to us every 120 days. The catch is the MS Society must maintain at least $10,000 each year to remain on the IT 540 state income tax return. So we really have to work hard to bring in a minimum of $10,000 to remain on the return and have the same opportunity in every future year. And finally, the best part about this for all taxpayers is that it's also a tax deduction. So all tax checkoff donations, like any other deduction, is tax deductible on the following year's return. So that is a good way, you know, two for one is a good deal. You make a donation to us, and you also get it as a tax deduction on your next year return. Next slide. So what we're looking at in 2011, obviously we are working in partnership within our region, the mid-year switching of tiers for prescription drug coverage, as Linnea just gave you some information on. That is something as well that we'll be working on similar efforts as Texas to expand the Louisiana insurance code to protect consumers from mid-year changes. Accessible transportation is also something that we started looking into in 2010, and we will do further work on that in 2011. There's a need for an improved and expanded accessible transportation infrastructure in Louisiana. And we've heard from many consumers, and they are in need of accessible public transportation to medical appointments and hospitals, and we feel that many will benefit from an improved infrastructure. And then on the lines of long-term care as well, we have done some work with the Lifespan Respite Care Program. We've been part of a coalition here in Louisiana, a work group for home and community-based services, and we support long-term care programs in Louisiana for persons with MS, family, and caregivers. These home and community-based services will allow caregivers to care for their loved ones at home and avoid institutionalization. I'm stumbling over my words, sorry. Louisiana will be receiving federal funding for the Lifespan Respite Care Grant, which we applied for during 2010. So that was good news we just received not too long ago, that Louisiana is one of the states that will be receiving federal grant funding. So that's what's up in our neck of the woods. Linnea?
Great. Thanks for sharing that. Let's go to the next slide. One thing I wanted to mention to everybody is that something all the states in our region do, definitely in Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Texas, I think it's in the works for Arkansas and New Mexico, but what we do is we travel to our state capital during the legislative sessions. It's a way to get people together, people living with MS and other people impacted by MS, and we can build connections, learn about the issues like some of the ones we just mentioned, get resources to help people tell their stories, and actually get to visit with your legislators. It's we usually dedicate 1 or 2 days to these conferences and these days at the capital. So not only do you get to know other people from your state who are involved in MS activism, but you also get the opportunity to visit your capital. Not everyone has easy access to their legislator. So this is a really great opportunity to really understand how it works and to get some new skills as well. Let's go to the next slide. So we've talked about some of the successes we've had and some of the agendas that our states have for the upcoming legislative sessions to give you a sense of some of the work that we do. But how do we do it? What do we do to make it happen, and how do activists help? By far, the most important is sharing your story. We could, you know, talk to our legislators until the cows come home, but in the end, we're someone who works for the MS Society, and we have a really important role. But the stories they really want to hear are from people who are not employees of the MS Society, people who are activists, who come from a community and can really share their experiences with a certain issue. Every person touched by MS has a different story, and it's something that legislators really want to hear. When they hear the issue from us, they can get some of the details about money matters and appropriations and bill numbers. Those are important details, but what's even more important is that personal story. Another way activists make a difference through advocacy is by staying informed. You figure out what issues matter to you. Is it on a community level? Is it on a state level? Is it on a federal level? Or is it some mixture of all of those? How do you stay informed? Well, one of the ways to do it is to join the MS Advocacy Action Network, and I bet if some of you are already on it, and you receive email updates on what's going on, both from your state-level office and from the Federal Public Policy Office of the National MS Society. And usually those emails give you an action step so that you can make a difference by just clicking on a link or calling your legislator and letting them know what's important to you. And along those lines, asking for change. You can share your story, but you also have to say why it matters. I have this story I want to share with you, and here's the issue that relates to it, and here's what I need you to do to make a difference for other people like me who are living with MS. Next slide. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the most important piece of advocacy, which is sharing your story. Communication is essential because you're telling your story in an effective way that makes an impact. Something I like to remind people of all the time is that you are the expert, and you bring this really important perspective to the table. One way to frame that is by looking at your legislator. They go into their state session or the federal congressional session. They've got a lot of work to do. In Texas in 2009, we had over 12,000 bills filed in our Texas legislature, and fewer than 1,500 of those were passed. So to move all those bills along and to get them passed, we need activists who are willing to communicate with their legislators and remind them why it's so important. They're informing, educating, and indicating their support for a bill and giving it that personal face so that legislator, when they're on the floor voting, remembers that issue. Next slide. One thing that's important to remember when you're going to communicate with one of your legislators is to figure out who they are, especially after this most recent election that we had on November 2nd. You might have a new legislator on the state or federal level. Who are these people? What's their background? What do they know about MS? Contacting them to welcome them to the legislature is a great idea, and it's also good to do some background research as well to figure out what you might have in common. When were they elected? Are they brand new? Have they been around for decades? What committees are they on? There are certain committees that operate within legislatures that give people certain power over the way bills move around. So if we're passing our bill, or we're trying to get our bill passed on prescription drug coverage, you'd think, who's on that committee? Or you might call a staff member, me or Crystal or Candace, and say, you know, which is my representative on a committee that's really important? We might say, yeah, they're on the insurance committee, and they're the one that's going to look at this bill. You might see if they have a common perspective. How did they vote in the past? Do they have kids? Do they have a personal connection to MS? All this kind of information will help you when you're communicating with them, just like you might with any other relationship. I don't know, if I get to know someone and I make them my friend on Facebook, I usually go and look on their page and say, oh, look, that person likes cycling too. Well, we're both cyclists. That's something we can talk about. It's just like that. It's another relationship with another person, and communication has always helped when you know a little bit more about them. Next slide. Another thing to think about is how you want to communicate with your legislator. Like I said, not everyone lives in the Capitol, so during the session, it's not always possible to meet with someone in person. But a personal visit is a really fun and important thing to do. We've had lots of activists in Texas, and I know in the rest of our region, taking the opportunity of the interim period, or the period between when those legislators are at the Capitol in session, to go to the district office and say hello. And it's a really nice way to get the undivided attention of your legislator. If they're in session, usually you want to go in the middle of the week. If it's in their in-district office, you can usually call ahead and make an appointment. And you really get that face-to-face time. And really, it's pretty fun. You get to know them on a different level. There's a few other ways you can contact your legislator and communicate to them about an issue. A phone call is usually good and quick, can get you an answer to a question, but it also isn't a good lasting way to make sure they remembered that you called and that you asked about this thing. An email is often the preferred way of communicating with your legislator or your legislative office and their staff members. Then there's a paper trail. They can save it. They can print it. They remember who you are and why you're sending it. Letter is another way to do it. In fact, when you're sending it as like a thank you, like a personal handwritten note, letters are very effective because so many people use email nowadays. Paper is a lost art. People love to get cards in the mail. So if you're writing a letter or a handwritten note, they're great to send a thank you, maybe enclose some extra information, but email generally gets read. It's easier for people to move around and save. And also, if you're trying to contact somebody in Washington, D.C., they have very strict security measures there now, and email tends to be the way to get it most immediately to someone you need to reach. Did I hear Candace or Crystal wanting to say something? No? Okay.
Nope.
Just checking. All right, next slide. One other thing I wanted to look at is that you really need to make your communication stand apart. And it often comes down to your personal story, but you also want to be very specific. As I mentioned before, there are so many bills and pieces of legislation that go through Congress and your state legislature every year. Your legislator may not be an expert on the issue you're interested in, so that's up to you. You not only have the personal expertise about MS and your experience with it, but if you work in partnership with your chapter staff, they can help you be an expert on the issue as well. You make your communication or request as simple as you can. You don't use any jargon they might not understand or any acronyms they might not understand either. And you don't want to assume that your legislator knows something. For example, many legislators may not know exactly what MS is. I often will tell people, oh, I work for the National MS Society. And they say, is that muscular dystrophy? And it's like, well, no. And you have to make sure they understand what MS is, how it affects people, maybe when people are most often diagnosed and what the common symptoms are. And that's enough to give them a good picture of the disease and how it affects people. Another important thing to remember, and we love this if you do it, is to keep your chapter in the loop. We want to work with you to help you get appointments, to come up with strategies about how to contact your legislator. If you've never done it before, we can help you get that first visit. We might even be able to go with you. And then after the visit, let us know how it went. We love to know that you've reached out to that person and that you've spoken out on that issue and shared your story with that individual. So when we get to the point where we need to communicate with them further, we have it in our notes. Oh, we already talked to that representative. We bet we can reach out to them and ask them for their vote on that issue. All right, next slide. So I wanted to round out this meeting by talking about some ideas of what you can do to be an MS activist. It was a lot of information on communication, some of the things we're working on in our various states, and hopefully some of that piqued your interest. But when it comes down to it, you're thinking, well, now what? What do I do? I could go on a visit. I could read up on the issues. Well, yeah, those are some really good ideas. And one of the ways to take action today is to go and to our federal issue website, and the URL is right there, capwiz.com/NMSS/issues. And that has a great monthly update on what's going on in the federal legislature, and it also has a bunch of links so that you can click and write a letter to your legislator right then and there. It makes a big difference. They really do count those emails about from people and seeing what they're interested in. You can also go and see what's up with our federal activism efforts on the MS Activist blog. You can also comment on that blog, and you can see activists visiting the White House. You can see if your representative is on the MS Caucus, which is a group of legislators who have committed to being interested and taking action on issues that are important to people with MS. So there's a lot of information there as well. You can also share your story. You can contact the chapter. You can log onto one of our websites and find the survey to share your story with us. You can call us up on the phone and just tell us what you're interested in. We really want to hear your story. You can also share your story with your friends and neighbors and explain to them why your story and why your issues are important, because creating awareness around these issues is also essential to our success. You can also read our national healthcare reform principles. We were an organization that stood really firm in getting some healthcare legislation passed through Congress, and there are some really important principles that you can read there, including one that, you know, bans insurance companies from denying you coverage based on a pre-existing condition, which is very important to people living with MS. It really boils it down, even though healthcare reform has been a little bit controversial. I think if you read those principles, you understand why fixing our healthcare system is so important to MS, and we still do stand by those principles. There are some things that we believe are very, very important to the MS community. And also, registering to vote. I hope everyone voted on November 2nd. It was a really important election, and it's a great way to make your voice heard. Next slide. So if you have some, those are some easy things you could probably do in about 5 minutes. But if you have some spare time, another thing you could do is to read up on some of our MS activists and our success stories. I heard on one of our phone calls this morning that Candace is actually featured in one of the latest MS magazines. I think it was in Momentum, the upcoming issue. So check her out in that issue of Momentum magazine. We also have stories about our MS activists on our websites. So if you want to read more about how MS activists have shared their story and gotten involved, log on. You can learn more about your elected officials, like I mentioned before. Figure out who these people are, how they voted before, and how we might best approach them about supporting our issues in the future. You can research some of our state legislation online. I know Crystal, Candace, and I are working really hard to make sure we keep as much information on the website as possible. And as the session progresses, more and more information will be available on those issues. You could take a chance to write a letter to the editor of your local newspaper. You can tell your story and get it out to a much broader audience, especially on an MS issue that's important to you. And you could even call a talk radio show and share your story there. So there's a lot of different ways to get the word out. Next slide. Lastly, if you think you can really make a commitment, you're ready to dive in, spend more than 5 minutes, spend more than, you know, an hour, you really want to get involved, here's some ways you can do it. All the states in our region have a government relations committee, and this is a group of volunteers who, pardon me, get together quarterly, once a month in Texas. It just depends on the state. But it's a group of volunteers who actually help decide the legislative agenda for each of those states. It's a really important group of volunteers because they are committed to understanding what the issues are that need to be addressed in the MS community are. So when I went over the 2011 priorities for our chapter, those are ones that our government relations committee expressed were important to them. So it's a really great group of individuals who are real leaders in advocacy in each state. Another way to make a real commitment is to make that appointment and visit your state or federal legislator in their local office, or if you're in near the Capitol, in their Capitol office. It's a great experience, a lot more fun than you think would be, even though it can be a little bit nerve-wracking. Again, you can always contact us, and we can give you plenty of resources on how to do that. You can also contact us about becoming a spokesperson. You can help us recruit other people who might be interested in MS activism at a bike or a walk event. You can become an expert on an issue that's really important to you and help us lead a subcommittee to take action on that and get the word out and spread awareness. You could organize an event to meet other MS activists, or you can just contact us and discuss what you might be interested in, and we'll connect you with an opportunity. So if you just go to the next slide, I wanted to end out with some more pictures of people and their involvement. Activism happens on a lot of different levels, and you don't need to feel overwhelmed, like you have to just rush off now and go visit your legislator. It can start really small. I think one way to start would be signing up for the Action Alert Network. Another way would just be giving us a call and talking to us about what you might be interested in. There's lots of different ways to get involved. So I hope you'll think about it and share with us what you might be interested in. If you go to the next slide, you have our contact information. So don't hesitate to contact any one of us. We're happy to talk with you more. And thank you so much for joining the call today. Rebecca?
Hello, everyone. Rebecca's back on the line. And I would like to open this up for questions. Anyone on the phone call tonight, would you just follow the directions that Jenny has for us, and we can open up for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the number 1 key on your phone. Again, if you have any questions, please press the number 1 key now. Our first question comes from Michael. Michael, please go ahead.
I have been working in advocacy for probably 16 years, and it looks like this year is going to be a good year to get things going. One thing I would like to get is the slides, because I wasn't able to get online with the pictures. And I'd love to see you all.
I can answer that, Michael. Everyone that is on the call will get a full copy of the slides.
Okay.
And so we can handle that tomorrow as soon as we get the information of who's on the call by Quick Connect. But Jenny will, we've talked with her, and she's going to make that available to us.
It looks like it's going to be a good session this year, because everybody's got issues and stories to tell.
Exactly. Definitely. I agree. And I think even though there's been a lot of changes in representation and there's a lot of things going on, the opportunity is ripe to get out there and get involved. So thanks for chiming in.
Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the number 1 key on your phone. One moment while questions come into queue. There are no further questions in queue at this time.
Well, thank you very much for staying with us. I do have a few closing remarks. We have another teleconference scheduled next week. It's November 17th, and the topic is Know Your Legal Rights, and it will be presented by an attorney in the North Texas area. On December 8th, we have our normal second Wednesday of the month call. That one is titled Pillow Talk. And this program will discuss the common sexual issues often associated with multiple sclerosis, as well as what individuals and couples can do to enhance their intimacy. So we'll end the year on intimacy. We will have these calls, like I said, every second Wednesday. The times might change just a little bit, but they're somewhere between 6:30 and 7 o'clock. Please stay on the line, because we have a few survey questions that we would like you to answer. Jenny?
Ladies and gentlemen, this begins our polling session. One moment while I get our first polling question ready. Our first polling question is, do you feel you have learned at least one new thing about MS advocacy? Press 1 for yes or 2 for no. The polling is now closed for this question. One moment while we prepare the next question. Our second polling question is, did you enjoy the speaker presentations tonight? Press 1 for yes or 2 for no. The polling is now closed for this question. One moment while we prepare your next question. Our third polling question is, would you participate in another call like this in the future? Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. The polling for this question is now closed. One moment while we prepare your next question. Our last and final question is, are you currently involved with our Action Alert team? Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. The polling for this question is now closed. This concludes your polling session.
Don't forget to register if you want to be part of the Action Alert team and answer no to that last question.
And that website would be www.nationalmssociety.org/msactivist. So nationalmssociety.org/msactivist, and that's the best way to get signed up. Rebecca, do you want to close it out?
We must have lost Rebecca.
All right. Well, this is Linnea Nassman, and I wanted to thank you all for joining the call today. We really appreciate you, your interest in advocacy, and if you have any follow-up questions, let us know. As Rebecca said, we'll make sure to get those slides out to everyone who registered and attended tonight so that you can see the pictures and follow up on any of the other information that we included. So thank you, and we hope you join us for future calls. Have a great evening.